The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I should be writing number 396 for April 19th, 2018. I don't even know what year it is. Wow.
Well, I should be writing. I should be working on my craft. I should be writing.
Hi there, welcome to I Should Be Writing, the podcast for wannabe fiction writers. I'm your host, Mer Lafferty, and I have been kind of hiding in a hole lately. I have a huge project that's due in 3 weeks and getting a little nervous about that. And that's stressing me out a lot. And also, I think I've been getting inside my head a little too much about all of these award nominations. It's the downside to something so wonderful happening, which is the imposter syndrome is still there. The nervousness and questioning about whether you think you deserve things or who's going to pipe up and say, no, you don't deserve things, or are they going to take it away from you if you talk about it? They're not logical emotions, and they're not good emotions, and they're not fun emotions, but I still think they're there. And so I've not been in a great mental place recently, just really trying to work on this major project while handling most everything else. Also, I know I'm sounding like my diamond shoes are too tight, but coming up with content for a Hugo packet for 3 nominations is tough. I'll admit it. Because we're working on content for the semi-pro zine part of the Hugo packet, and I gotta pick podcasts to put for the fan cast, and hoping my publisher sent them something for the novel. Yes, these are great problems to have, and I don't mind having them, but they are things that require some juggling. When people say you need to do what you want to do for your life, do your passions, that's true. But one thing that you need to remember is that turns your passion into work. Is this all I've ever wanted to do in my life? Yes. Is it hard work and stressful? Yes. And it's hard to complain about something when it's like you got the crown that everybody wants, and then you're like, man, this thing's heavy. Actually, the Campbell Award diadem is this beautiful constructed wire and bead diadem, which is like a tiara, only it goes all the way around the head. And I used to love wearing it when I had it, except the beads eventually press into your forehead and become unbearable. So it's there's your metaphor. Would I trade it when I turned down the nominations? Would I turn down this project? Hell no. But I'm just saying, it's stressful. I don't know why I keep justifying this. Hopefully you get what I'm saying, and I can move on. So what else is going on with me? I will be at the Nebula Conference next month around this time. I guess it's around the 17th, 18th. It's the first time I'll be going to the Nebula Conference. It'll be in Pittsburgh. And if you're paying attention to the news, Pittsburgh is the place where people are going to riot if the president fires Cohen. So that's fun. What could go wrong? So I want to talk about a couple of things, mainly mental health, because that's been what's on my mind. Because I've been feeling kind of disjointed and stressed and unhappy, I've been listening to a couple of the audiobooks for writers that I've listened to throughout the years, and I picked up The War of Art. It's a take on the art of war. And I remember reading this and it just being mind-blowing. It really affected me. And I experiencing it again in audiobook, and all it's doing is making me angry because the guy is talking about absolutes. And if you listen to my show, you know I hate absolutes. And he's basically saying, if I can't identify with the particular problem you're having, then I'm just going to say you just need to get over it. He discounts mental illnesses as being not real. Not all of them, but just some of them. Says that you can clearly write a novel when you have a newborn, because Tolstoy had 13 kids, without bringing up the fact that women almost always were caregivers at that time. So, you know, that's not impressive unless you can prove to me that Tolstoy was a attentive parent. That's the problem I have with these self-help books, is oftentimes they don't take into account things beyond their own experience. So whether that's gender, you know, there was a guy who wrote about how he quit his job and just traveled the world on his own, and everyone should do that without taking into account that it's a little bit more dangerous for women to quit their jobs and travel alone throughout the world. Also dangerous for people of color or queer people, or people with disabilities. It's not so easy for everybody you're talking to. And I feel bad sometimes when I'm giving out advice on the show when I say, I can't answer that question. You're the only one who can answer it for you. I can give a number of things you might choose from to try, but I don't know your specific information. I don't know whether you're a morning person or an evening person. For example, how do I find time to write? There's some basic things. You know, get up earlier, go to bed later, cut out something that you do for fun that takes up time, cut out a TV show, etc. But I don't know if you're a morning person or an evening person. I don't know if you have to be caregiver to children or the elderly. I don't know if you have a disability or an illness that makes it a lot harder to create. When my daughter was a baby, I would try to get up earlier so I could get some stuff done in the morning, but she would hear me every time I got up. And it was time to be, you know, if mom's awake, then she needs to give me attention. And so I couldn't, there was no getting up early to do stuff. So anybody who just said, oh, that's easy, just get up earlier, it's not, that's not how it worked for me. And it breaks my heart to think about the people who quit because they have crippling social anxiety. But Stephen Pressfield says social anxiety is not a real thing. So if they can't just poof, get over the social anxiety and write, then they might as well quit. Self-care is so important. And self-care means maybe getting offline, maybe staying away from social media or the news. Self-care means making sure you get enough sleep and food. Self-care means prioritizing. You know, I have to say no to things now, and it breaks my heart because people will contact me and say, I've listened to your show for years and years, and I finally sold my first book, and I'd love for you to blurb it. And I'm like, I can't. I can't. The other thing I want to talk about is we don't often talk about the mental weight of things. It's like if I break my to-do list down to time, how much time it's going to take to do everything, very few people take 8 hours and efficiently use every single minute of it. And whenever I do, I usually am brain dead by the evening. And it's not that I did anything difficult physically. It's not that I mean, I could have done 20 little things, but the constant switching of gears, thinking about new things, that's all mentally wearing. And this morning I woke up and decided to clean off my phone of everything, every app that I looked at that caused a feeling of anxiety in me. And I realized there were a lot. There are productivity apps with little red numbers on them showing how many to-do list thingies I have, which is ridiculous because I've known forever that I work so much better with a pen and paper. And every time I try out a new productivity app, it doesn't work. It just doesn't. I have subscriptions to apps that are supposed to help me with mindfulness and stuff. I pay for that, and I'm not happy with I don't use them. And then I tried to hire an online physical trainer and finally realized that I'm not getting my money's worth because I'm not using it. Using the service is what I mean. And so I went through and I went to PayPal and iTunes and made sure that I canceled all upcoming charges. And then I hoped I would feel a sense of relief, but I didn't. I felt guilt. Because first time I would look at it and there would be the guilt of, I'm spending money on this and I'm not using it and I'm wasting money and that sucks. But I can always try again tomorrow. Canceling them and deleting the apps is saying, I give up. I am officially calling myself a failure on this thing. And that is not the way I should look at it. You know, I'm freeing up my time and my money and the mental weight. Every time I look at my phone and there are these little things saying, ooh, these are things you should be doing. If you do me, your life will be so much better. And if you don't do me, you'll feel really guilty about it. I don't need that right now. So, I got rid of my productivity apps. I stopped payment on my yearly meditation and yoga apps. If I want to decide to use them again, then I can use them until they re-up and then decide. But I canceled the automatic charge on it. I've given this personal trainer thing 2 months and it's not working for me. And I'm still struggling with the fact that I have conceded and given up. And I put this on Twitter and a bunch of people say, look, the app didn't work for you. It's their failing. And, oh God, there's this one that's like from scientists at Duke to help you study habits, to help you change your habits. And I started using it and I enjoyed it, but I had a complaint, so I emailed support. And I don't know if they saw that I was a writer or they saw that I was local or whatever, but they wanted me to write a testimonial for the app. Because they had testimonials on their pages of people who's been using the app and things have changed. And in asking me to do that, they killed my relationship with the app. Because all I was thinking of is what am I going to write about with this app? And then every time the app reminded me to do something to form the new habit, all I could think of was, oh, that's right, I have to write a testimonial for this thing. So in what should have been a private experience about me working with this app to help create better habits, I made it about other work I have to do and an obligation to somebody and a requirement to be, if not entertaining, at least engaging. And all I wanted to do was, you know, create a good morning routine. And it got so much bigger. And so I stopped using that. And that reminds me to do things 3 times a day. And so that pisses me off. And so I'm struggling with the very real, I need to stop wasting money and I need to stop getting dinged with little guilt pebbles every time I look at my devices. And failure's not a good word. If something doesn't work for you, it doesn't work for you. It doesn't necessarily mean you failed or you're a bad person. This is just stuff I have to constantly tell myself. I've been saying it all day. My buddy Ursula put on Twitter, she and her husband have a podcast called Productivity Alchemy, and she says lots of people feel this way. And we've gotten very nice letters thanking me for the fact that I try most of them and hate them. Ursula says, for some reason, most of us are okay blaming shoes if they don't fit. If you get blisters, you say, damn shoes gave me blisters, not my heels have failed at life. So thank you, Ursula. That's some wisdom right there. Incidentally, Ursula is up for the new YA Not a Hugo Award and a Hugo for Short Story. So if you're a voter, please check her stuff out because she's amazing. I'm going to end this because I've been meaning to record it for weeks and just haven't. As I said, I've been inside my own head and I'm trying to come out. Just trying to take baby steps. I think killing those apps was a good thing. I think deleting that stupid book from my phone will be another good thing I will do once I'm done recording. Trying not to panic about the new project and wishing I could talk about the new project. Oh my God. Okay, so thank you for listening if you've listened this far. If you want more concrete writing talk, I have a book based on this podcast called I Should Be Writing, interestingly enough, with writing prompts and blank pages to write on and stuff. If you're into science fiction or you're into murder mysteries, and even if you're not into one but you're into the other one, you might like my book Six Wakes, because I've had people say, I don't like sci-fi but I love mysteries and I liked your book, and vice versa. It's a clone murder mystery in space. And it's nominated for several awards, so somebody likes it. Still weird imposter syndrome there, but whatever. Yeah, and here, blog and show notes at merverse.com. My other podcast, Ditch Diggers, is a podcast about the business of writing I do with Matt Wallace, and it is nominated for the best fan cast Hugo. It's a good year. That's another thing that makes me feel guilty is that I'm being stressed out by all the good stuff. But, you know, they say a wedding is one of the most stressful days of your life, even though you're happy you're getting married. Sometimes good stuff can cause stress. That's really what I'm trying to say. And take care of yourself. and get to know yourself so you know what things work best for you and how to take care of yourself. And I will be back hopefully next week with more writing advice. And until then, you should be writing. And that's what I gotta go do myself now. Remember, you can support the show at patreon.com/mightymer. I Should Be Writing theme music provided by John Anilio. You can find more about him at johnanilio.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license. But I should